Masechet Shabbat in memory of Marcel and Jack Shasho. Ruach Adonai Tanichim Began Eden. Amen.
Daf Kuf Lamed Vav. Today's daf has been dedicated by the Asa family in memory of Hacham Baruch Rafael Ben Miriam. Today's daf is also being studied L'Hailu Nishmat Avraham Ben Esther. Ruach Hashem Tanichim Began Eden. Amen. We are starting on Kuf Lamed Here, Amud Sheni, and we are going to be five lines from the bottom. Tanya, Rabbi Shimon, or Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel Omer, Kol Sheshaha Sheloshim Yom Be'adam Eno Nefel, Shne'emar, Uftuyav Meben Chodesh Tifdeh. The first rule Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel teaches us is the rule of a nefel. What is a nefel? So he says that is a child that was born that did not reach yet 30 days. So long as he's within 30 days, he has a status of a nefel, which means it's questionable if he's going to live. Once he reaches 30 days, then already the assumption is he made it to his 30th day, so he'll live, he's viable. However, until 30 days, he's considered a safek, if he's going to live or not. Now we'll see why we have to know that. He's setting us up for a question. Then he gives us, and he learns it from a pasuk of Pidyon. The Torah tells us that when are we obligated to redeem our firstborn children? So the Torah tells us, uftuyav mibben chodesh ulmala, which means you have to redeem him from the 30th day. So he wants to explain the reason of the pasuk, why they pick 30 and not 29, because after 30 days the child is already, we'll call him a bar kayama, he's going to make it, and therefore they chose the redemption at that day. He's giving the reason of the pasuk. He continues with another derasha. Shemona yamim bebehema eno nefel. By an animal, the 8 days makes the animal already about kayam, which means it'll exist. Until 8 days, the animal is questionable if it'll live or not. But 8 days is the cutoff point. Where does he learn that from? So he says, Shemona yamim bebehema eno nefel. Shene emar. Umiyom Hashemini v'hala yiratzeh lekorban. We know the law is that an animal cannot be befitting as a korban until it is at least 8 days old. So again, Rabban Shimon Gamliel learns from that pasuk why they pick 8 days old, because from that day on, it's out of the status of maybe to live or not. Already, it's considered kayam. Now, Tosfot just points out there is a little difference between the 30 days of a human being and the 8 days of a behemah. Tosfot says that the 30 days are 30 days including the 30 days. So it's really 30 complete days. Whereas by the animal, it's on the 8th day itself, it is permissible to bring it as a korban. In any event, the Gemara now sets up the question. Halo shaha. But if you didn't wait 30 days by human being, sifek ahave. It's a safek. We don't know if the child is going to live or not. We learned that the 8th day of the Brit Milah that comes out on Shabbat, we're allowed to circumcise him on Shabbat. What do you mean? This child over here is a safek. He might live, he might not live. And we know the law is that a safek we're not allowed to do on Shabbat. Well, what's the Isur going to be? Because if he's not going to live, so therefore, now making this this cut over here on the child would be considered habura, which means just to make a blemish on a child on Shabbat is habura. It's one of the melachot. It's under the melachah of shochet, which is netilat neshama. You're taking away from his blood. So the Gemara wants to, how could you be make a milah on the 8th day if every child on the 8th day, I'm talking about Shabbat specifically, he's a safek, he is a nefil. So comes the Gemara and says, Amar avada barahava, malin oto miman nafshach. He says, what's the problem? You could make the Brit Milah regardless, no matter which side you want to look at it. Im hayu shapir kamahil. if he ends up living, so it came out what? You gave a brit milah on a viable living child. Ve'im lav, and if you want to consider that the child, let's say he dies within the 30 days, so comes out, mechatech bebasarhu, all you did was, is you just cut dead meat, which means it's just like cutting flesh, which means you consider him dead now. And therefore, there is no problem. If he makes it, so he did a regular, legitimate brit milah. If he doesn't make it, so retroactively on the day you did the brit milah, is considered dead now. So when you're cutting, what are you cutting? You're cutting dead flesh. The whole isur of making a haburaz netilat neshama, that's only on someone that's considered alive. But if the child's not considered alive, so what did you end up doing? You cut a piece of meat from a dead body. So therefore, Rav Adah's chiddush is, the reason why you're allowed to do a brit milah on Shabbat, even though it's within 30 days, is because of this manav shach. It's because we say, either way you look at it, you're not going to make chilul Shabbat. So comes the Gemara and says, yeah, but based on what you're telling us, what about the braita that we learned on the previous daf? Sefek ben zayin, sefek ben het. We said, if we have a sefek, if the child is a 7th month baby, or an 8th month baby, en mechalelin alav et Shabbat. So we said, in such a child, sefek, we don't mechalel Shabbat. Because again, we learned that a child that's born in the 7th month cannot make it. I'm sorry, a child born in the 7th month can make it. A child born in the 8th month cannot make it. And therefore we said, since you have a sefik, we don't know which month he's born in, so therefore refrain from the milah. So Gemara says, why? Amai, nimele mimanavshach. Use the same logic that Rabbi just taught us. Im hayu shapir kamahil. Which means, if he turns out he was really a 7th month baby, so he ended up doing a milah on a viable living child. Im lav. And if in the end he was an 8th month child which is eventually going to die, mechatech bebasaru. So all you did was you cut flesh from a dead person. He's considered halachically dead now. So therefore, the same logic that you allow a milah on Shabbat, 8th day milah on Shabbat, that should be the same logic that should matir us to put the sefek zayin sefek chet also on Shabbat. Amar mor bered ravina. So Morbi Ravina answers, Ana v'Rav Nechome Bar Zecharia Targemina Mimal Achena Mimalin Ale. You're right. The same logic would allow us to be, give the Brit Milah on this case as well. The Safek Zayin, Safek Het, do the Milah on Shabbat. So what did the Brita say? You don't do it. So it says, Lo Nitzreka El Makshire Milah Balibad Rabbi Eliezer. That Brita was not talking about the Milah proper. It was talking about the preparations for Brit Milah. Just normally the Rabbi Eliezer allows us to do the preparations of the Brit Milah on Shabbat as well. For example, to make the knife and to cut the wood and all the other preparations, even though they could have been done before Shabbat. The Bili Ezer only allows that on a Milah Vadai. But since over here, this is a Milah Sefik, even though we have a halachic way to get around doing the Brit Milah itself, however, the Makshirin, the preparations, that's what the Braita was saying that one should not do on the Shabbat, because it is a sefek. Amar Abaye. Abaye comes along and says, Ketanae. This is indeed a mahloket tanaim, which means, Rav Adah bar Ahava just told us that what? That a nefil has a halachic status of a mit. And therefore, if you cut his milah on Shabbat, on the side that he's a nefil, you cut the flesh of a dead body. And therefore, all you're doing is cutting dead meat, which is okay. That is actually a mahlokin. How do you look at the status of a nefil, of a child within 30 days? Is he considered net, or is he considered high? That's actually a mahlokin amongst the Tanaim, and we're going to see. Now, the Gemara is going to actually bring us a proof from animals. But it seems throughout the Gemara, we're always going to go back and forth and compare animals to human beings, and if we find the law by animals, we'll apply it to human beings. Now let's review one law that's incumbent for us to know this next sugya. We know there's different types of tum'ot that a person can contract. One type of a tum'ah is tum'ah of a nevela, which means you have an animal, that was not slaughtered properly, right? Let's say it died. So that now carcass of the animal does emanate tum'ah on to the person. Now, of course, if an animal died through a shechita, which means you made an actual kasher shechita, so that animal does not bring tum'ah. So now the Gemara, through the Pesukim, wants to analyze which animals that were not slaughtered properly will bring tum'ah onto a person. So the Gemara says, "V'chi yamut min abehema asher hi lachem le'ochla." It says, and if the animal will die, an animal that normally is edible to you, that you can eat, if it dies, at the end of the pasuk comes along and says, "Hanogeya b'niblata yitma da'arim." Anybody that touches the carcass of such an animal will die. Lehavi. So what is this pasuk coming to include? So comes the Gemara and says, "Ben Shemona she'en shechitato metaharato." Let's take a regular animal, a behema. The normal birth of a behema is also 9 months. Let's say the animal came out in the 8th month. So again, just like by human beings, we say the 8th month baby doesn't have a shot, so also the 8th month animal also doesn't stand a shot. So the Gemara wants to say like this. It's coming to tell you that if you have an 8th month animal, right? It was born in the 8th month. And now you made shechita, which means you actually slaughtered it. You did a ritual shechita on it. Don't think that that shechita is going to take it out of its status of tum'at nevera. No, we're going to consider that animal dead. That animal is dead from the beginning. And therefore that shechita that you made on it is not considered like they made shechita on a regular animal. And therefore, the chidush of the pasuk is coming to say that a behema, ben het, in the 8th month, that you made shechita, it's not like a regular animal. That animal is going to also bring tum'ah. That's the first opinion. Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon omrim, shechitato metaharato. I say no. The shechita of such an animal is metaharit, which means, bottom line, it didn't just die. You actually made a shechita. So it's like a regular animal. If you take a regular animal, you make shechita on it. Now it's like, even though it's dead, but since it died through a normal shechita, no problem of tum'ah. So since we have a machloket over here, what is the basis of this machloket? So Abba Yeh comes along and says, "My love, beha kamiflege." Must be that this is what the root of the machloket is. The mor savar hayhu, umor savar metu. Must be the machloket is how do you look at an animal in the 8th month? One rabbi considers it alive, halakhically alive, and therefore you made shechita on a live animal. Beautiful, no tumah. And the other rabbis must say, no, animal in the 8th month is considered already met. It's considered already dead. And therefore, the shechita didn't do anything. It was dead before you made the shechita, halakhically dead. And therefore, it's going to emanate tumat nevela. So you see what? We have a mahloket tanaim. So therefore, let's apply that same mahloket to a child. Which means, how do you consider the Nefil? Do you consider him alive? Bottom line, halakhically alive. Or do you consider him dead? Now that's going to be a big nafka min an halakha. Because if you consider him alive, so therefore this milah that you do on him is going to be considered now a milah on a live person. If you consider him dead, all it's considered is just cutting flesh. So then what the Gemara Abaye wants to say, this, that the Vadat took so pashut, that Nefil is considered dead, Nefil is cutting basar, that's not so simple. It's a machloket actually amongst the Tanaim, as we see by the animals. Amar Rava, so Rava comes along and says, "Ihache." If that's indeed the way you're explaining the machloket, Ademe palgele anyan tum'a v'tahara leflegele anyan achila. He said, if that's the case, what are they arguing? Only the gabet tum'a. Is it tameh? Is it not? They should have argued on a much more basic mahloket. Is it permissible to eat? Which means, if you hold, it was alive, therefore the shechita actually did something, therefore the basar should be edible. Mm-hmm. If you hold it's met before you started, so the shechita didn't do anything, so you wouldn't be allowed to eat it. It seems they weren't arguing by achila. So from the fact that they're not arguing by achila, tells us that we're understanding the mahloket wrong. Because if that indeed is the mahloket, it's considered high or met, why do they limit the argument to does it bring tuma or not? They should have learned the mahloket as well. Is the achila kishera to eat or not? From the fact that they didn't argue on that point, must be we're learning the mahloket wrong. So Rava comes along and learns the mahloket differently. Ela dekule alma metu. Everybody holds the animal is considered mit. 8th month animal, it's halakhically mit. Oh, so then what's the question? If it's mit, everybody should say the shechita obviously doesn't do anything and therefore there should be tum'ah. What's the mahlokit? How could one rabbi say there is tum'ah and the one rabbi said no? So he says, b'ribi Yosef, b'ribi Yehuda, b'ribi Elazar, b'ribi Shimon, savri, kitrefa. We have a new din. In this law of a nevela, of an animal, let's say just dying without shechita that brings tum'ah, the Torah discusses, or the rabbis learn from the pesukim, what about a case where you slaughtered the animal, you made a regular kasher shechita, but it turned out that the animal was a terefa. What does a terefa mean? Terefa means, let's say, one of its internal organs were blemished. That renders the animal unfit, even if you made a shechita. You can't eat the animal. Let's say the lungs were punctured. So that animal is called in halakha a terefa. The rabbis rendered certain internal blemishes that if the animal cannot sustain life with that blemish for more than 12 months, so the animal is considered terefa, it's unedible, it's etc. So the question is like this. If you have an animal, now it's terefa before you even slaughtered it, but you don't know it's a terefa because you can't tell terefa until after you make shaita and you check it out. So the Torah clearly tells us, again from the Rashot that the rabbis make, that while a regular animal that you didn't make shechita on and it dies, that animal brings tum'ah, but a terefa, once you slaughter it, no tum'ah. Even though it's a terefa, even though you might argue and say, what do you mean, it's dead from... It's dead from the beginning, meaning it's worthless from the beginning. Doesn't matter. Shechita can, not kosher, but shechita on a terefa, they all agree what? Takes away the tum'ah. Right, so let's take an example. You have a cow. Right, you made shechita on the cow, they check the lungs of the cow after the shechita, holes. Doesn't matter. That animal does not bring tum'ah. As opposed to, let's say you have a regular cow, again, it died. But now that cow is a nevela. The nevela, you didn't make shechita over here, nevela, it didn't die through a shechita, therefore it's going to bring tumah. So there's a difference between a nevela and a terefa that you made shechita. So now the Gemara says like this, when it comes to the animal of the 8th month, right? The animal of the 8th month that you made shechita, how do you look at it? So the Gemara says like this. So those rabbis hold we look at this animal like a terefa. Terefa laf al gav de metahi. Even though a terefa halachically has the status of a met, even when it's alive because it's a terefa, but still what? Shechita ta metarata. But the shechita of a terefa is what? Going to make it tahor, it's not going to bring tumah. Hachaname lo shena. So sort of same thing over here. You have the 8th month animal, even though it can't live, so you want to give it a status of met, but still, if you made shechita on such an animal, we'll give it tahara. So one rabbi says, yes, it is mit. Oh, everyone agrees it's a mit. It's considered halakhically mit. But what? I'll consider it like a tenifa. Isn't a tenifa also considered like a mit? But if you made shaita, this tahara to the animal, so too over here. Virabbanan, and the rabbis that argue will say, lo dame le tenifa. It's not similar to a tenifa. You know why? Tenifa haita la sha'ata kosher. Ha lo haita la sha'ata kosher. Because a tenifa at one point of its life was viable. Wasn't always a tenifa. Right? At one point of his life, since it had real kashrut to it, so therefore I'll say, even though later on it became a tenifa, but since it was viable once as a regular animal, so the shahita of the tenifa will keep it tahor. However, in this case over here, an 8th month animal never had a time where it was viable. It's 8 months. From the beginning it was not viable, therefore the shahita will not metahir it. That's the haluk the rabbis want to give. A terefa, let's review. A terefa had what's called sha'ata kosher. Right? Let's say in the animal's history. The beginning of the animals, there was no puncture in the lung. And all of a sudden later in its history, what happened? It got punctured. So since there was a time when the animal was a regular animal, so then shahita, even on such a terefa, keeps the animal teora. Masha'ekin, in the 8th month animal, and never had a time where it was viable. It was from the inception. So the Gemara says, you can ask a question. What if it was a terefa from birth? I mean, there's certain animals that are born with defects. So how are you going to explain that? Which means when he said, if you make shechita on a terefa, so he says, everybody says that, what? It's not. It's tahor. It's including even a terefa mi betin, even a terefa from birth. It didn't have shata kosher. So Gemara says, hatam yesh bimina shechita. Yeah, but at least in the species, it's possible to have a terefa that had shata kosher. It's possible. That's the point. Which means, I don't care if this case it was a terefa from birth. Is it possible to have a case where it became a terefah later on? Of course. So therefore, in the species of terefot, it's possible to have sha'ata kosher. Therefore, in all terefot, once you make shechita, it's ta'or. Hacha en b'mina shechita. But by an 8th month animal, there's no way an 8th month animal can ever have a situation where it had sha'ata kosher. An 8th month animal, it is what it is. And therefore, yes, we consider it a mit, and therefore, since it's a mit, the shechita is not going to do anything for it, and therefore it's going to have a tum'ah. So let's review this last little ketah. What happened was, the Gemara thought to say it's a machloket tana'im. That what? That a nefel, a child that's a nefel, let's say within 30 days, or for that matter, an 8th month baby, how do you look at it? So Rabbi Dabar Hava looked at it and said, what? Yeah, it's a mit. And therefore, even if you did the Milan Shabbat, which you ended up just cutting flesh of a dead body, no problem. So the Gemara Abaye said, oh, not so fast. That's a machloket tana'im. The way you look at an 8th month animal. How do you look at an 8th month animal? So Abaye wants to say that we have a machloket. One rabbi will say you look at an 8th month animal as if it's a chai. And therefore what? If you slaughtered it, you slaughtered a live animal. And the other rabbis will say, what? No. An 8th month animal is considered a mit, and therefore the shahita does not mitahir it, it'll be tumah. So that's the machloket. Is it chai or mit? Say the machloket by a human being. Rabbi comes and says, no, that's not the machloket. Everybody holds really the 8th month animal is considered mit. Just as they would hold that what? That an 8 month baby or a nefil is considered a mit. Oh, so what's the machloket over here? Do you compare it to a terefa or not? One rabbi says I compare it to a terefa. Just like a terefa, even though it has a din of a mit, but the shechita is mitaharta. So therefore the same thing by an 8 month animal. The other rabbi says, no, it's not like a terefa. Terefa had sha'ata kosher. Or better, it can potentially traditionally have shata kosher. Mashiach and an 8th month animal, never is possible to have shata kosher. Therefore, the shaita can never be metaher. Ibayele on the Gemara now brings a question. Mi paligi rabbanan ale de rabban Shimon ben Gamliel olo. Do the rabbis argue on Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel? Which means, Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel that came along and said that what? That up until 30 days the child is considered an effel, and up until 8 days the animal is considered an effel. Now, let's give a practical halakha that comes out of this. According to Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel, if you were to slaughter an animal within 8 days, that shechita would not make the animal edible, because you have to wait until it's out of the nefil stage, because now this animal is questionable is going to live or not. So it's considered a met, so therefore the shechita is not a shechita for eating purposes. So the Gemara wants to know, that's the Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel's opinion. Do the rabbis argue on the Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel? What do the rabbis hold? We never saw another opinion. Is there another opinion? So the Gemara says, Imtim Silamar Pelige. If you want to say yes, the rabbis argue halakha kemoto and halakha kemoto. Is the halakha follow Rabban Shimon Gamliel or not? So it's a twofold question. Is there an opposing view? And if there's an opposing view, who is the halakha like? Tashema. So the Gemara brings a proof. Eged shenolad biyom tov. You have an animal, let's say, a calf. It was born on yom tov. Shochatin oto biyom tov. So we have a clear statement that says you're allowed to make shechita on a 1-day-old animal. That cannot be going like Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel. Must be going like the opinion of Hakamim. So we found a machloket. Again, the animal was just born. Now you'll ask a question, what do you mean? It should be mukseh. It's nolad. We have a law that says if an animal is born on Yom Tov, it should be mukseh. The explanation is it's not. Why? Because you could have eaten this animal even if it didn't come out of its mother's womb. How? By slaughtering the mother. Halakha says that when you have an animal, a mother animal, so that's pregnant, yeah? And you made shechita on the mother animal, all of what's part of the animal becomes now kasher to eat. Even the, you don't even have to make shechita. Which means, just like you don't have to make shechita on the lungs of the animal after you slaughter the mother animal, do you have to make shaita on the liver? Of course not. It's a part of the animal. The embryo or the baby animal inside is considered a limb of the mother animal. So just by making shaita on the mother animal, the rest of the animal becomes kasher. So since you could have eaten this animal anyway, so now that it came out, it's not considered mukseh. But what are we learning? You could make shaita on it immediately. Must be what? That there's opinion that argues on Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel, because he says, no, you got to wait. Got to wait 8 days. So the Gemara says, no. Haka b'may askina. What are we talking about? A specific case. What's the case? Dekim le begave shekalu lo hodashav. Now, there is a way to determine if an animal, or for that matter, a human being, is not an ifir. There's one way to determine it. If you know exactly when the animal conceived, and you count the days from the time of conception till the time it gave birth, if you see it was a full-term baby, which means it was a full 9 months, then you know it's not an ifir. What is an ifir? Let's go back. Nefil means that maybe it wasn't full term, and therefore you have to wait extra 30 days because maybe it came out a little early. But if you know, for example, it definitely came out of the womb after 9 full months, you don't have to worry about any nefil issues. Why? I know exactly it stayed the full term. I'll give you an example that Ashi brings earlier that I didn't speak out, which we have to speak out, by a human being. Ashi gives an example. Let's say you have a husband and a wife. They had tashmish. One tashmish. That's it. And they didn't have tashmish again for 9 months. So they know exactly when she got pregnant. And then 9 full months later, they had a baby. In this case over here, there is no question, is the baby a nefil or not? That's called kalu lo chodashav. They know exactly. Why do we have always a question of nefil? We don't know, is it full term, is it not full term? Maybe it's got a little more to go, we have to wait. But if you know for sure, for certain, based on that calculation, that she says that one tashmish in 9 months, you don't have to go that far. You could say they had one tashmish, and then 3 months after already you knew she was expecting, if that more tashmish, at least you can record exactly which tashmish it was that caused the pregnancy, and you count from there 9 full months, you have no problem. So therefore, in those cases, it's not a question of nefil. So the Gemara says, that's what I'll tell you the case of Yom Tov was. The case of Yom Tov was what? That animal that we allowed you to slaughter on day one, even the Rabban Shimon Gamliel will allow you to do it. You know why? Because Kim knew, they knew, Kalu no Chodashav. You know, they monitored it, they knew exactly when it conceived the mother, when it gave birth, and therefore you have no question of nefil. So therefore, you have no proof. Tashina will bring another proof. Veshavin, and everybody agrees, Sheim nolad, hu umumo imo, shezeh min hamukham. What is this case? There's a law of a bechor. What's the law of a bechor? If you have a kosher animal, the first animal that comes out of the womb of an animal is considered a bechor. That animal has kedusha. What do you do with it? You have to give it to the Kohen. That's one of his entitlements. Mm-hmm. Now, the Kohen brings it on the Mizbeach, and he also gets some pieces to eat himself. Unless the Bechor becomes a Baal Mum. If the Bechor has a blemish, a type of blemish that is a permanent blemish. Now, the only way you could determine a permanent blemish is you need a rabbi or a betin to come and determine it. Then already you give it to the Kohen, and he's able to make shechita on it, and eat it as regular meat. There's no korban. Obviously you cannot bring a blemished animal on the Mizbeah. Now, there is a machloket. Are the rabbis allowed to make a ruling on a bechor on Yom Tov? Is, are you allowed to call the rabbis down and say, Hakam, I have a question. I have an animal here, it's a bechor, there's a mum. I need you to make a halakhic ruling. Is it a mum? Is it not a mum? They'll tell you, it'll go away, it's not permanent. So machloket, what would the reason why should be asur? So some say the reason is because if the rabbi is going to come along and say, it is a mum or not, it looks like you're fixing the animal. It's domeh limitakin. And that's like a gezerah d'rabbanan. Or it looks like you're setting up court on Yom Tov. And you're not allowed to have court in session on Yom Tov. Different reasons. But everybody agrees. Even the rabbis that forbid looking at mumim on Yom Tov, allow it in one specific case. Let's say the animal was born with the mum. Was born with the mum. In this case, everybody holds the rabbis can make a halachic ruling. Why? Because it's not like you ever had a she'ela where the animal was no good. Now you want to come and fix it and take the move. It was born with it. So in such a case, one more condition, and the rabbis were there for the birth. Meaning you didn't go fetch the rabbis, they were sitting there. They happened to be on the farm when the animal was born, and bingo, they saw the animal come out, and they saw the moon. So they can come along right away. As it's coming out, they say, this one over here, it's a moon. You have no problem. Ah. So it says, everybody agrees you could do such a thing. And if, let's say they made their ruling, and they said when the baby came, when the baby animal came out, moon, what's the deen? It's mukhan. What does mukhan mean? It's not mukseh. You could slaughter the animal on Yom Tov and eat it. What do you see over here? It's only one day. So must be there's an opinion that says you don't have to wait 8 days. Must be there's an opinion that says you can do it right away. So let's read that inside. Tashema. Veshavin. Everybody agrees. I mean, even the rabbis that have a question, can you look at mumim on Yom Tov or not? Shim nolad hu umumo imo. That if he was born with the mum on the animal already, shezem in amuchan. It's already prepared and you can eat it on Yom Tov. Gemara says, "Acha namer shekalu lo chodashav." They get the same answer. Like I said before, we know that animal had a full term, and therefore there was no question of nefir. Tashema. Here's the final proof. Tamar of Yehuda Mar Shmuel halacha kerabban Shimon ben Gamliel. They have a statement. One rabbi said halacha is like Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel. Halacha nichlal de palige. Must be somebody's arguing. See, if there was nobody arguing, you don't have to tell me that halakha is like Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel. He's the only opinion. The fact that he said halakha is like Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel must be that there's an opinion that argues. Shma mina, proof positive. So it comes out we have a machloket hachamim and Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel by an animal within the first 8 days if you slaughtered it. Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel will say, you can't eat it. Hachamim will say, you can. Amar Abaye. Now Abaye discusses another din. Nafal min hagag. Let's say you have over here a case where the baby fell off the roof. It's a baby within 30 days. What's the point it fell off the roof? It died external death. Right? It didn't die of something internal in the baby itself. External death within 30 days. Or let's say a lion came and ate it. Again, an external death. In that case, everybody agrees that you treat that child as a chai. You don't say that it was a nefil. Which is even Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel, that normally says a baby, let's say within 30 days is a nefil, it's not in this case where it died an external death. We'll see exactly the nafkamina. Now, I'll tell you the nafkamina right away. Let's say you had a couple that was married. They only had this one child. The child's within 30 days. He got eaten by a lion. He died an external death. The question is now, the husband died. Does the wife fall to the law of Yibum? Because the law is, if a lady dies without children, sorry, the husband dies and leaves his wife without children, so she has to fulfill the mitzvah of Yibum, meaning marry the brother-in-law, it's a whole process. So the question is, well, is this child considered a child or not? So if you say no, hi, he's alive, but he died within 30 days, yeah, but he died external death. The assumption is he would have made it. So if he's considered alive, so therefore there's no mitzvah of Yibum, there's no mitzvah of Halitza, she's able to get married to whoever she wants. Right? So that's what the Gemara's Nafkamina is. So let's read that Nashi inside, gentlemen. Nafal min hagag wa achalo ari. Poor Nashi. Shemet mahmat mita haba'alom betoch lamid bemakom aher. The child died within 30, again, but from external reasons. Everybody says you can assume that that child had a full term and the child's going to make it. And you can assume that if it wasn't for this external death, the child would not have died. Now, ubadam havi valad. And what's the nafkamina? Uporteret imo min halitza. And it'll exempt his mother from halitza, from yibum. Now, the gabib behema na man. Say the same thing by an animal. Stam valad behema. Sheshahat betoch het. If let's say, you took an animal within 8 days, and you made shechita. So the animal died, external death. Right, shechita by an animal was like a baby falling off the roof. It's an external death. Mutar ba'achila. According to everybody. De lo hazina bir'uta. Because we didn't see any sickness in the animal, or any problem in the animal. The rov ha'yoldot ina mapilot. Right, and the majority of animals make it. So the Gemara is telling us a big chidush over here. The assumption is the animal and the child is going to make it. And therefore, if the animal died externally, or the animal was nishchat, we say what? It was considered alive. Oh, so then when is the machloket? Is it considered an nefil or not? So the Gemara says, ki pelige. You know when the rabbis and the Rabban Shimon Gamliel argue? Shepihek umet. Well, let's say the child was born, and it showed signs of weakness, and the child just yawned and died. So that already shows that there was something already with the child. I mean, the child didn't have strength, obviously. All it is, pihek, yawned and died. There we have a machloket. Mor sabar hayu. Again, hachamim will say, doesn't matter. The kid's considered alive. It's considered a child. You go with the majority. Umor sabar metu. And in that case, Rabban Shimon Gamliel is saying, now that's a full-fledged nefil. Right? Lemay nafkamina, what's the nafkamina? Liftor min hayibum. Okay, we explained. To poter from yibum. Gemara says, nafal min agag o achalo ari devre akol hayu. You want to tell me that if it died from external death, everybody's going to hold that it's considered high. Everybody's going to consider that that's not considered an nefil, not by a human being and not by an animal. Can't be. Why? The Rav Papa, the Rav Huna, Bere, the Rav Yoshua, the rabbis, Ikli'u lebe, Bere, the Rav Idi. They found themselves by the house of Rava, actually, the son of Rav Idi, but Avin. They were by the rabbi's house. Ve'avidlu eglat tilta. So they made for the, he made for the rabbis, Rava made for the rabbis, eglat tilta. That's a egel, a calf. The third from the womb, the third one that's born, that's considered the tastiest one, the third one that comes out. They call it aglat tilta, bimamad de shiva. But the only problem is, he made it for them, it was only 7 days old. The amri list, so the rabbis told the Rava, they said, what a shame. I itrehitu le ad le urta, if you would have waited till tonight, you would have waited till the seventh night. Hava achlinan mineh. I would have eaten it. Hashta lo achlinan mineh. He says, but now I can't eat from it. Which means, what was he saying? He's saying, because you slaughtered it before the seventh night, which means, once the seventh night comes, already that's considered, for shi'ita purposes, permissible. For korban, you have to actually wait till the eighth day. You have to wait till the next morning, because korbanot can only really be brought in the day. But for shechita purposes, the night already is considered day. So he says, what a shame. You slaughtered it a little too early. Now wait. Obviously, there's an opinion out there that says, you have an animal, it died external death, it died from shechita, and still he's telling you what? You can't eat it. So how could you tell me, Abaye, that if the animal or the child dies external death, everybody holds, it's considered alive, everybody says it's good. You see, not so. You see, the rabbi over here, where the animal died external, he didn't assume, probably would have made it anyway, we could eat it. He said, no, you didn't wait. So obviously you're explaining the mahloket wrong. So the Gemara says, you're right. Ela, we're going to say the opposite. Kishepihek umet devreakol metu. When the child yawns, when he shows already signs of weakness on his own, there everybody's going to agree, even the rabbis, that if he dies within 30 days just from a yawn, he yawns and he dies, then for sure he's considered a nefil. Meaning he's considered dead from birth. Nafkamina, the wife now is going to have to make yibum. Of course, it's as if they never had a child. Everybody will agree to that. Where's the machloket? Ki peligi benafal min hagag v'achalo ari. The machloket is when there was external death, when it fell off the roof of Garim by a line. Mor sabar metu, umor sabar hayu. So we're relearning the machloket, which means if the animal or the child died externally, hakamim will come along and say, you go with the majority. Majority make it, it's okay. Therefore, according to the rabbis, you made shahita on the island on the seventh day, eat it, no problem. The Rabban Shimon Gamliel says, no. Even external death does not take it out of the status of a nefil. That's what a machlok is. But of course, if the child showed signs of weakness, for example, it just yawned, and everybody will say, you have to assume it is a nefil. Comes together and tells a story. Bered Rabdimi Bar Yosef, it yelid lehahu yinuka. To
the son of Ravdimi Bar Yosef, et yelid le'ahu yinuka, was born to him a child, begot taltin yomin shachiv.
Well, within 30 days the child died.
Bar minnan. Yativ kamit abel alave.
So he sat. He made the avelut. A child died within 30, he made avelut.
Amar le'abu. So his father tells him, Savrinute kaba'it le'mechav.
Says what? You're interested? You like to eat the food of avelut? Which means you have a desire to eat the foods of the avelut, whatever they used to eat.
And he was trying to tell him, what are you making avelut for? You have no obligation to make avelut.
But what are you mourning for? The child died within 30 days, which means like this. Even according to the Ban Shimon and Gamliel. Let's go back. We have a machloket, right? Let's say you have a child that dies within 30 days. Even if you want to say it's a machloket, is it considered high? Or is it considered met? It's a safek over here. We know the laws of avelut. Safek avelut lekula. So he was telling him, what are you up to make avelut in such a case? So maybe there's some opinions that want to say that this child was dead from birth. Which according to the Ban Shimon and Gamliel, it's an efil. It's an efil from birth. And therefore, you don't have to make avilut in such a case. What do you mean, mahmir and avilut? There's opinions that say you don't have to make avilut. We know the law of avilut is lekula. Well, must be you have a desire to eat avilut food. He was being sarcastic with him. So the Gemara says, Amar le kim li be shekalu lo chodashav. He's, I know this child was a full-term baby. And therefore I know it's not a question of nefil. That's why he made the avilut. Implying what? That if he didn't know it was a full-term baby, he would not be obligated to make avilut. Another story. Ikla be Rav Kahana. Rav Asher found himself in the house of Rav Kahana. Itra be Milta. So there was a bad thing that happened. Avilut. That's the way of saying avilut. Begot taltin yomim. Within 30 days. So his child died within 30 days. Again, he saw that he was sitting making avelut. Don't you hold halakha like Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel? When the child dies within 30 days, he says, hey, it's an efil. It was dead from the beginning. What are you making avelut for? Say same thing. I know that this was a full term. Comes the Gemara and continues. Itmar, we have a statement. Met betok shiloshim. You have a child that died within 30 days. And then what happened? The Gemara is talking about a case that the father died first. He left this child. Now the child died within 30. So now potentially you have over here, at least according to the Ban Shimon ben Gamliel, a Yibum situation. Let's analyze why. If the child is considered dead from the beginning, right? So they're bad children. So if she's really obligated now to make the mitzvah of Yibum or Halitza. Right? What happened? Met betuch shiloshim ve'amda v'nitkadsha. She didn't realize that she had to make Yibum. She said, well, I had a child, I'm good. She went and she got engaged to somebody else. And Halakha says, when you have to make Yibum, you're not allowed to go and make Kiddushin to somebody else. Now what do we do? So the Gemara says, Amar Avina Mesheme Derava Im Eshet Yisrael Hi Choletzet. So we say like this. If the guy that she got engaged to is a Yisrael, the Yisrael, meaning the guy that she gave the Kiddushin to, so we have an idea. So you know what? Go to the brother-in-law, make Halitza, which is sever the connection so there's no Yibum, because if you don't make Yibum, you have to make what's called a Halitza. It's like a divorce. Finish with the Yavam, and then you can go back and marry this guy. Because Yisrael is allowed to marry a divorcee, or he's allowed to marry a lady that the process of Halitza took place. So there's an option on that case over there. If she gave the Kiddushin, no problem. Go finish what you were supposed to do. Break off the relationship with the Yavam by making Halitza, and then go back and marry the guy. Ah, im eshet koheni.
But if, let's say, she ended up giving Kiddushin to a Kohen, now what's going to happen? If she makes Halitza with the first guy, she can't go back to this guy. So the Gemara says, Ena Holetzit. Rava comes along and says, you know what? In this case, she could be lenient and follow the rabbi's opinion. And the rabbi's opinion is that a baby within 30, even though it dies, it was alive. And if it was alive, it was considered they had children. Therefore, she didn't have to make Yibum or Halitza in the first place. So therefore, just keep the marriage to the Kohen alone. So Rava said, a big Hadush over here. Just even though we posek like Rabban Shimon Ben Gamliel, and we're Mahmir, but in this case over here, you can follow the rabbi's opinion and just let it go. So the Gemara says a story here. But Rav Sharbiya mishemed Rava Amar, but Rav Sharbiya quoted Rava a little differently. He said, no. Ahadzu vahadzu choletzit. He says, no. No dispensation here. You got to make halitza in both cases. And you know what? She can't marry the Kohen now. She's stuck. She gave the Kiddushin to the Kohen. The Kiddushin's worthless. Because she was supposed to make a halitza. Go make the halitza. Because that child over there is considered dead. Like the Rabban Shimon Gamliel. Now you got stuck. So the Gemara says, Amar lera vinal rav Sharbiya. So now we have two records of Rava. So they told Rav Sharbiya, Be'urta Amar Rav Hachi. He says, you're right. In the evening, Rava said like you. He was Mahmir. However, Litzafra Hadarbe. In the morning, however, you didn't hear. He retracted. So you have last night's psak. This morning, already he reversed and said, it's okay. Make the halitza and marry the Kohen. So he didn't like that, Rav Sharbiya. Amar le shiruta. They're saying, now you tell me he was matir? Meaning, he said, how can he matir something that's asur? Yehe ra'avad tishre tarba. I hope that one day he'll also be matir to eat halev. Halev is asur in the Torah. So he was saying it sarcastically. He said, well, what do you mean? How can he mutar? If you hold the baby's a nefil, the baby's a nefil. And therefore, yes, she has to make halitza. What's this business over here? That for a Kohen we're going to be lenient over here. Being matir is Yehir Atzon. One day, you also come and tell me that Rava was matir to eat halev. Jeez, he was saying it again in a strong way. The Gemara continues. We said, Rabbi Yehuda's opinion in the Mishnah was that if you have an androgynous is a fellow that has two signs. He has signs of Zakhrut, male, and signs of Nakbut. So Hakamim said you don't do such a midah on Shabbat. Rabbi Yehuda says you do. So comes the Gemara and says, Amarav Shizbi Amarav Chazda. Lo lakol Amarav Yehuda Androgynos Zacharu. Don't think that when Rabbi Yehuda said the Androgynos gets the midah on Shabbat, obviously because you're considering him a Zachar, don't think he said it for everything. Because we only consider an Androgynos a Zachar regarding Milah. But there's a lot of other laws out there. For the other laws, Rabbi Yehuda says we don't consider him a Zachar. For some reason, which we'll see, only for Milah do we consider Androgynos a Zachar. So he says, She'im ata omer ken, because if you're going to tell me he's a Zachar, full-fledged for everything, Be'erchin Ya'irach. We have a law of Erchin. What is Erchin? The Torah tells us, if a person, let's say, makes a vow to give his worth to the Beit HaMikdash. I give my vow, my erich. What's my erich? My worth. Well, what's a person's worth? So the Torah actually gives a list of if you're a male, if you're a female, and what age you are. There is a set price that a person has to give to the Beit HaMikdash based on gender and based on age. So the Gemara says, if you're going to tell me that an androgynous is a male, so that comes out according to this, if he says Erki Alai, so he'd have to, assess him as a male. So the Gemara says, Umina lan delo mi'arach. Well, how do you know you don't? How do you know that you don't make an assessment on him as a male? Says Detanya Kureva Braita. Hazakar. By the law of Erchin, it says the word Hazakar, the male. What do we learn from the word Hazakar? Velo tumtum ve'adroginus. It's coming to exclude a tumtum. That's someone that has no signs. His signs are actually covered. Or someone that has two signs. So the Gemara says, Yaakol yo lo yeh be'erich ish, aval yeh be'erich isha. Yeah, maybe you don't assess him as a man, but maybe you assess him as a lady, as a female. Tamud namas, the Gemara says, no.
You don't assess him at all, not as a male, not as a female. Why? Because we have a juxtaposition between two pesukim by Arichin. Hazachar, right? The first pesuk is Hazachar, and then right after it says Ve'im Nekebahi. So the Gemara says there's an extra hair on the word Hazachar. Hazachar, and there's extra words Ve'im Nekebahi. Rashi tells us from the extra word Ve'im. So what's the derasha? So they learn two things. From Zachar we learn Zachar Vadai. And from Nekeba we learn Nekeba Vadait. Only a definite male has Zachar. And Ve'im Nekeba teaches us only a definite female. Ve'lo Tum Tum Vadoginus. But not a Tum Tum and a Nogin. These are not definite. These are questionable. Safek man, Safek lady. So what do you see? That even though Rabbi Yehuda said Le'inyan Mila is considered a Zachar, but for other things, he's not a Zakar. Proof pudding, what? Erchin. For Erchin, if he was considered a Zakar, he should give an assessment like a Zakar. But we see clearly, it's not so. Only Zakar Badai and the Keba Badait. Good. So the Gemara says, Vistam Safra Rabbi Yehuda. Now, we have a rule. When you have a Braita, or a Safra, that's a type of Braita, without a name on it. Stam Braita or Safra is who? Rabbi Yehuda. Now this Braita by Erchin didn't have a name to it. Who must be the author? Rabbi Yehuda. The same Rabbi Yehuda that said in our Mishnah that Androgynos is a Zachar says over here that the Androgynos is nothing. Not a Zachar and a Keba. So you see what? Exactly what we said. That he only said his deen. That Androgynos is a Zachar, Negebe, Mila. But for other things, he agrees, he's a Safek. Right? So this is part of the proof. Vistam Safra, Rabbi Yehuda. So therefore, the same Rabbi Yehuda by Mishnah, the same Rabbi Yehuda by Erchin. So comes the Gemara and says, Amar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzhak, Afanana Mitaninesh. You know what? We have another brayta to support what you just said. Hakol Kishrin Lekadesh. This is a law of Mehatat. The laws of Para Aduma, when you want to sanctify the waters with the ashes of the Para Aduma, so there's a procedure. You have to pour the ashes of the Para Aduma into the holy waters before you sprinkle it. Not everybody's allowed to pour the ashes into the water. The Braita says, Hakol Kishirin Kadesh. You know, everybody's kasher to make this kiddush, this sanctification of pouring the ashes into the water of the parado mahutz mehirish shoteh v'katan. Not somebody that's a mute, not somebody that's a shoteh, somebody is mentally deranged, or a katan or a minor. Rabbi Yehuda makshir b'katan. Rabbi Yehuda says no, katan is okay. Uposel beisha beandrogenos. But he clearly says a lady can't do it, nor an androgenos. So what do you see? That obviously he doesn't treat an androgynos like a zakar. Shma mina. So now the Gemara says, Umayshena mila. Also, why is mila different? Why do you consider an androgynos a zakar for mila? I mean that you could even do his mila on Shabbat. Mishum dichtiv himol lachem kol zakar. The pasuk says, circumcise for yourselves all males. From the fact that it's kol, it's coming to include even an androgynous. Baruch Adonai le'olam. Amen. Amen.